Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and there is a slight change in plans today. If you read the information that I have posted with regards to the show, you'll notice that Caroline is not going to be with us today. She's home, out of sorts. You know, it even happens to healers sometimes. So what I've decided to do is that this first hour, we're going to be discussing what I think is a remarkable book, Anna, Grandmother of Jesus, by Claire Hartsong. And perhaps a lot of you out there have even read this. We are then going to, for those who have questions, Yeshua tells me that he is available to answer your phone calls. And for those of you out there who might have joined us for our conference calls, you would know that the Masters very generously come and spend time with us. They do meditations with us, and one of the things that they want to do that seems to be very important to them is to make contact with us in the sense that we can feel their energies, feel their love, intuit their presence, perhaps even see some of the colors that are associated with these great beings of light. And if you work with this, you might even hear the messages that they give to you individually. And Yeshua is here now, and one of the things that he wants me to do today to start out, and so if you'd be kind enough to hold your calls until we get through this meditation, I would appreciate it. This is at Yeshua's request, and it is very similar to the kind of work that we do on the conference calls. And so he asked me first to describe his appearance. And the reason for this is, as I describe it, I would like for you to concentrate on the description so that perhaps you can pick this up with your senses also. So the first thing he asks you to do, if you would, if you wish to be a part of this exercise, is to relax. The more we relax, settle down, slow the body process, the faster impressions come in from the other side. And so what he is asking each of us to do is to take a deep breath. And as you breathe in deeply, and as you exhale, allow all of your cares, all of those things that we call daily grievances or things that might distort our serenity, allow those to go for a minute. This is your time. This is your time and the time for an opportunity to connect with Yeshua. So he asks again to take a deep breath, to exhale, feel the body become calm. Feel the joy that awaits you. Now, he is asking that you take your consciousness. You might not know how to do this, but just desire to do it. Just tell yourself this is what you want to do. Take your consciousness and put it in front of you. It is sort of like a messenger for the body. also it is the way that the soul can send information to your physical and to your mental abilities, to your spiritual intuition. So just perceive your consciousness to be in front of you. And as you do that, connect it now to the heart chakra, the love force, so that in that connection, you see the pink glow of the heart chakra move into your consciousness. It is the love. Some of you may even see the threefold flame that is within the heart area. The light of blue, it is like a little blue flickering flame that is entwined with a yellow, a pink, rather delicate colors, and they intertwine around one another. You might even see that. And so this consciousness that is in front of you is being fed with the love that comes forth from the heart chakra. Just hold your consciousness there. And as you do that, just think on the words that I am going to give you as the description of how he has come today. He has come today as he comes many times at the conference calls, the king of the planet. This is how he has come today. He has the white robe that he wore those 2,000 years ago as the Essene. But over the white robe of the Essene, he is wearing this magnificent, oh, you might say, cloak or outerwear. There are large sleeves in the robe, open down the front. He's wearing a gold cincture-type belt around his waist. The robe is very ornate. The sleeves are long. It has golden braid around the sleeves. And I see from down to what you would call the, from the feet all the way up to the neck, down around the other side, there is this incredibly intricate, beautiful gold braid. He has a crown on his head. It is a kind of crown that is typical for a king. There are jewels in it. And as I look at his hair, the, shall we say, the outer color is light. It is sort of like a sandy golden hue to it, and there are undertones underneath of that, as you might say, a dark auburn, like perhaps new wine. That's the colors. So that if the sun would play with his hair, you would see these golden highlights. And it's curly. The edges are like ringlets. It's a part in the middle. The beard is not real long. It is has an opening in the middle of the beard, with two ringlets on either side. And he asks that you study the eyes. If you can glimpse the eyes, you would never forget them. First of all, there is a gentle humor about the eyes. We see him so seriously in church art, but he has such a remarkable sense of humor, a gaiety, a love of life, a joy that just exudes from his eyes. And they are blue, or better yet, sort of like a blue-gray. And he says, just hold your consciousness there at the eyes for a second so that you can touch him in some fashion. And as I come down, I look at his left hand. He is holding a globe. It is the Earth in miniature. I see it spinning on its axis. You can see the continents moving. It stops for a second, and I see something very typical, the Ring of Fire, very prominent on the globe. Underneath the Ring of Fire, there is what appears to be an angry kind of pink-red along the rim. And as I finish saying that, it starts revolving again, this miniature Earth that he holds in his left hand. And in his right hand, he holds the scepter. He is saying, now, if you need to relax some more, breathe into the heart chakra. See the pink glow from the heart chakra enliven your consciousness as if it's dancing. He has a purpose for this. And what the purpose is, he wants you to be still so you can hear his voice. And at this moment, he says, tune into that consciousness and listen to what he has to say to you. That each one who seeks, he wishes to open up his heart and speak to you. Now, at first, you might think, I didn't hear anything, but you really did. You heard a message. But sometimes, because of disbelief that you can hear these things, you dismiss it, and it might be just a whisper. So listen to the whisper. He's going to give you the message again. And he says, just relax. Know that I transfer this thought to you. Each one receives their own message based upon their need at the moment. He's telling me to go on, that he will be here. He says in reserve. Because what we're going to do is we're going to talk about his life and times according to what Claire Hartsong took down in dictation from Anna, grandmother of Jesus. But there is so much in there that I know is information that Yeshua has brought forth in our conference calls that we have had with him. And since we had the opportunity today, it's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this forth. This is the time when nothing will be hidden. Mother Mary decreed that in this time of preparing for ascension, that all truth should be brought forth. Nothing will be hidden. And so, my friends, if you decide to comment, maybe you remember some of these times from the ancient past. I would say 2,000 years ago is relatively ancient, but not when you consider it to perhaps Atlantis or Lemuria or some of the other civilizations. So if you have some memories, if you have some questions, our number here is 877-876-5227. And if you're calling from Canada, we have a toll-free number there also. It's 888-815-9750. One of the reasons why I wanted to take this route today is because we have a tendency to think that Yeshua came into the world, that he remembered everything, and from that time when he opened his eyes, that all of a sudden he performed miracles, and there was nothing that he had to do in his lifetime to prepare for his journey. It's very clear that when you read the different places that he went to in those hidden years, that he did prepare. He prepared very meticulously through many initiations, through many learning processes. We're going to talk about those for the rest of this first hour. But one of the reasons that I really wanted to do this is because during the conference calls, when people asked Yeshua questions about his life, this great sense of humanness came forth in his answers. What he felt like when he saw the people suffer in his homeland, the burdens that they were under, the poverty, how some people took everything and some people had nothing. And he talked about the children, what he felt like when he looked into the children's faces, the joy that they had. They weren't corrupted yet to human thought, to thoughts of lack. They just had joy. And they reminded him of the Father, Mother, Creative God. And as he talked about these things, you couldn't help but love the human side of Yeshua. Yes, he had great powers, but he was also incarnate as a human being. And so when he started to share those thoughts and feelings with us, I loved another side of him. And it was that side of him that liked to sing, that liked to dance, that enjoyed the sunrises and the sunsets, that enjoyed the simple pleasures of breaking bread with people, of loving one another. He apparently didn't feel the need to own things. He just knew that what he needed would be supplied, and it was. And so he walked this most beautiful path, touching everyone along the way to help them see life in from another perspective, and he is still doing that. It is why he is here and waiting for anyone who might have a question. And we will talk a little bit now about some of his journeys, according to what Claire Hartsong received from Anna. Of course, it is mentioned in the Bible, the journey into Egypt as an infant. That's recorded in the Bible, so we know that. Some things that we don't know that's not recorded in the Bible is recorded in the traditions, in the Egyptian traditions. In some of the churches that they have built there, They have a tradition. If you go to Egypt and you work with guides who know these things, they have a tradition there of where the Holy Family lived, of places where Mother Mary appeared to individuals later to ask churches to be built because they rested there. They were tired. It was a long journey. And so they have a tradition of this route that the family took in the early years, and they had family there. Their traditions in Egypt really don't go too much in depth in Egypt, but in Claire Hartsong's book, she talks about the family, and of course, it is the connection with the Essenes, since it was an Essene community there. She gives beautiful information about his early years, and when it was time, it's recorded in the Bible, he comes back to his native land, and after a period of time, he goes to Britain, according to this story. Now, interestingly, I have been to the tour. I have been to some of the places that Claire Hartsong talks about in her book, and if you have the great gift of being able to travel there, you will know that there is a lot of history there about Joseph of Arimathea, that he was wealthy, that he was related to Yeshua, and he had a prosperous business of mining metals from the ground that he sold to the Romans to make bronze, and it was the tin mines that he was involved with. So he was a prosperous individual who had the finances, who had the ships, and Anna in this book mentions many times that Yeshua and the family was able to do their traveling at the generosity of Joseph of Arimathea. And it's so simple to say, oh, they went to Britain or they went to Egypt. But when you think about what life was in those days, imagine traveling in the heat of the desert with camels or a donkey or a cart of some sort. I've been in the desert in the luxury of an automobile. Nothing like riding on the back of a camel. But, you know, today you can stop and get provisions. Well, then, making a long, arduous trip, they had to have all of the baggage, the food, to be able to take them from one place to another. They had to take the provisions. I mean, planning a move with people over these distances required a lot of planning, even if they were going to take a ship and go by ship, which that would be the travel if they were able to do that, if they were near water. But still, even with that, there would need to be much planning that had to be done. So the story takes us to the tour. If you have been to the tour, you know that it is a place of energy. There is great energy there. Matter of fact, I would say that for someone who is sensitive to energy, you will notice that all of these places where Anna gives the story of Yeshua's travels, these are great energy places. And when he was in Britain, he became, of course, very involved with the Druids there, the priests and priestesses, and he worked with initiations. There were, at that time, passages and tunnels that you could take to go down inside the tour, and this is according to the story in the book. Presently, there is a structure over top of the entrance, so people are not aware of that today. So the story describes his many places that he went when he was in Britain, Stonehenge, places that we today, as a pilgrim, would go and see, the Chalice Well in Glastonbury. What is so wonderful about this story is there is a sense that at each one of these places that Yeshua went to, he was on a pilgrimage of learning, of development, of learning how to use and recognize his energies. And so a lot of the work in this was initiations and working with energies. So he was about, according to this story, he was about age 13 when he went to Britain. And then, of course, he came back to the Holy Land, but the group that he was working with was at Mount Carmel or Caramel, however you pronounced it. So there were several areas in the Holy Land where the people had set up communities, but at Mount Carmel there was, or Carmel, there was a great learning center with many scrolls. And Anna talks about how the different scrolls from all these different communities were copied and shared with other communities and other countries. From Britain, according to this story, Yeshua then goes to India and the Himalayas. What I find extraordinary, I do believe, is the development of the relationship between he and the family members, his mother and his father. You know, there's not too much said in the records about the relationship between the different family members. And who we call Saint Joseph, he is shown, you know, you see a statue of him, you don't really see the personality, who this individual was, and what he taught his children, and how much reverence that Yeshua had for his parents, and the relationship, and the great spiritual development of his mother and his father, and how the two of them guided Yeshua along with Anna, the grandmother. And there was something that I thought was very interesting on page 211. Yeshua was talking about how he had so much love for his father, and this would be Joseph. And he says that he didn't want him to put him on a pedestal. And he said there were times he just adored him because he was so great and he couldn't help himself. And he says it was at these times that his father would assist him to reclaim his energies that he projected into him. And his father told him that instead of venerating him, expand his veneration into a deep reverence for the father-mother's glory which dwells within his own heart. So he was telling him not to give his power away. And his father wouldn't take his power for his own purposes. He would explain to him that when you do this, that there is energy that you lose, that you need to hold on to your own energy, that you claim this energy and you use it. And so he said his father taught him to know his connection with the whole of life. He taught me reverence for the life force and showed me how my energy substance could sustain and empower life, or it could be drained away by inattention, ignorance, or naivete. That if you did this, it would come back as fear, conflict, or lack. And that is what that whole thing is about, to empower yourself. So I thought that was a very fascinating thing. And in this, he claims that his father was with him when they took the this trip to India and the Himalayas. So as they go through this, how shall I say, voyage of initiations, working with some of the high masters, his father and other members of his family are with him on this trip, and it is just so beautiful. Now, if you wish to call in, you might have read something, you might have a question, because there really are historical records that people have discovered at the different monasteries that are coming forth now from the Himalayas and from India. I believe the pronunciation is Isa, but it is the same individual that we are speaking of as Yeshua. The number here is 877-876-5227. Call and join in on the conversation and the fun. You have probably, I mean, I know that there are listeners out there who have read stories about this, and maybe other listeners are not familiar with it, so call in and share your knowledge. I have several books on my bookshelf that come from authors in either China or the Himalaya area, who claim that there are records of Yeshua making these trips through the through their countries. So I think it's good to know this, the journey that Yeshua took, because sometimes, and especially now that we are working on our own journeys, as this is an ending time, a very important time for what we call for ascension, that we know that the masters worked very hard on perfecting the body, perfecting the mind, perfecting the spirit. This didn't come to them full-blown. So we have these records through through Britain, through Egypt, India, the Himalayas. After he took that trip, he then went back to, according to this timeline in the story by Anna, he then goes back to Egypt again. And this is a fascinating story of how initiates in Egypt were prepared. And Anna is telling this story at, because Yeshua explained this to her. And I have been very fortunate to have visited so many of these places. Didn't really know that I was on a journey at that time. But apparently I was, my soul was taking me on a journey collecting some of this information. Now one of the temples, is Kom Ombo. The, Initiation Chamber of the Crocodile God Sobek. Now, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correct, but it's K-O-M-O-M-B-O. And I have heard of others talking about this also, because what this was is this was a test. And what the test was that the initiate, when he was prepared and he thought that the ones that prepared him thought he was ready, he had to swim underwater through a passageway that passed through a pool of hungry crocodiles. I don't know that I'd want to do that, but that was the test. And the reason for this is that a person mastered the lower centers of their animal nature, which clings to security, lust, and competitive powers, and in doing this, the heart and intuitive centers were cleared and opened. And in this way, the initiate was prepared to receive the higher energies that activated through these spiritual powers. I'm very much aware that the Egyptian initiates, they died during this test. If they became frightened and they lost their sense of direction and they panicked, there were the crocodiles. Snapped them right up. Of course, the Egyptians believed that this wasn't so bad because you would come back again. They did believe in reincarnation. So if you failed the first test, you came back again and did the test later. Interesting story. Now, how these different tests were set up is the Egyptians looked at the Nile as a journey, and they set up the journey. They considered the Nile a metaphor for the human body, particularly the spinal cord and the more subtle neural pathways. So they knew that the root to enlightenment started at the base of the spine, and like the River Nile, flows upwards. And in the human body, enlightenment goes from the base of the spine to the brain. And so this is why they constructed the temples along the Nile that stimulated the journey of enlightenment. So the Nile flows from south to north. The initiate would begin their journey in the south and proceed through the subsequent temples, culminating at the Great Pyramid, which represented the Holy of Holies in the brain. And so each temple that they went through, they are journeying up the Nile until they eventually find their way to the pyramid, the Great Pyramid. One of the places along the way is the temple at Dendera. I had been there at that temple also. It is quite a temple. I wish I would have read this book before I did some of that journeying, because when you take an Egyptian guide, they tell you, about the locations and what they found and so forth, but it's really hard finding an Egyptian guide that has the mystical background that can tell you these things. I mean, you run into guides that can read hieroglyphics, and they tell you some of the story, but they really don't tell you the whole thing. When I was at Dendera, I did get a lot of interesting information about Isis and the picture in this one particular room in the temple that had the whole cosmos there, which is quite unusual. But in this rendition of the story, they will tell you that is dedicated to Isis. In this rendition, they say that the temple is dedicated to Hathor, the goddess of healing love. And the purpose was opening the heart center through the balancing of the feminine intuition and masculine intellect. And you cultivated and disciplined the sexual energy balance through love and mindfulness. So at the Hathor temple of Dendera in Yeshua's day, they actually worked with the Hathors according to this book with Anna, grandmother of Jesus. And they talk about in here the chanting, the meditation, the tantric arts, the different energy work through sound. And if you're familiar with Tom Kenyon's work, he works with the Hathors and works with sound and the channeled life force, which they call Sekhem. And so we do have people who are on the earth plane now that are working similarly as an initiate would work with the Hathors in Yeshua's time and age. And Anna talks a lot about her ability to bilocate. You know, there are stories of early saints, of sages from India, from other historical backgrounds where they talk about bilocation, where the body could be in one place, but the soul and the essence can be in another place, or they can actually move the body to another place. And she talks a lot about bilocating and working with Yeshua in these different places. But something that they say at the end of the chapter, which I find very fascinating, is today, if you wish to work along these lines, that you can call on the Hathors, that they will work with you to facilitate your empowerment according to your asking and belief. Well, for those who work with Tom Kenyon, you know that this is being done today, but what Anna is saying is you can personally set up this relationship with the Hathors by asking them and according to your own belief. You know, it gets back to that belief again. If we don't believe, we can never walk through that doorway. So, my friends, I know that there are some people out there listening. Call in if you hear my voice. Tell us about some of your own experiences. Maybe you have some interesting books in your library about Yeshua's hidden years. The phone number here is 877-876-5227. Or if you have taken a personal journey through some of these temples, through some of these sacred places, if you have experienced some of these energies, so that you can give us a call and share with others who might not have had the good fortune to have been doing this traveling, it would be very helpful, because you can read about something in the book, but it is not like actually being there and experiencing it. Well, apparently we have somebody who does have a question, and your name, caller.
Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. Yeah, I was wondering, can you ask, or can you ask Yeshua if he's the author of the Course in Miracles?
Oh, I would be glad to ask. It has been reported that he was, so let's see what he has to say. Give me a moment, Mark. I think that's a very good question. Matter of fact, a lot of people recommend one to read The Course in Miracles as a pathway of spiritual enlightenment. So let's see what he says. He is showing me what looks something like a script or a scroll, and he says that he collected this information over a period of time, that yes, he did give this information, but it wasn't something that he did all at once, that it took a while to study it, he says, to collect the information and finally arrange it and put it in a form that he thought would be meaningful to people, that it is a set of his remembrances. And so what he had to do is to update it for the people of this time, so to speak. And he says that each group of people have a different mindset. They have a different pathway of understanding. And the way he spoke to those in his day, 2,000 years ago, he spoke according to what people could understand and associate with. And he's given an example of some of his parables that he gave. He's showing me the parable with the individual who is sowing seed. He said people in his day would have understood that. But people today, their mindset is different. And so he put the course, well, he doesn't call it a course so much as a pathway. And he developed this with the idea of addressing the people's minds of today. And so there's a lot of information in there, but he said it took a while for him to gather it all. Matter of fact, what he's showing me is a group of people on the other side who were contributing, that this information was a gleaning or a gathering of thought among several entities. He says truth is universal, and what is truth that comes from my mouth is the same truth that comes from another initiate's mouth, so that there is no conflict. But the manner in which it is given and the manner in which it is intended can change. So he is showing me that there was a group on this project. He gathered the information. He used some of the advice from others as to how this would be tabulated. But he was the sole responsibility for actually disseminating it. So, Mark, the answer is yes, dear.
Okay. Are there any additional books or other disciplines that would be beneficial for the student that he could recommend or that would go well with the course?
He is saying that there are so many nuances in the course that he feels that if an individual person mastered everything that was in the course, they really wouldn't need anything else. He says, if 1 year you read a passage and then you walk through life and you grow some, and you come back and you read the same passage the next year, you're going to see a different interpretation in it. And he says a lot of passages are that way, and it was written with that in mind. They tried to make it simple so that a beginning person would read it and stay with it and absorb it, but it also has growing room, he says, that as the person matures spiritually, that a simple passage, a simple word, can then be not analyzed so much, or act as an inspiration for a further thought. He's showing me, it does. He's showing me the Nile. If you look at the Nile the way it is on a map, the way the water from the tributaries comes in to reach the water comes in from, I guess that would be the Mediterranean, through different branches, and then comes down through the Nile. He is saying if you look at human consciousness in that fashion, and the human consciousness as this river that moves up towards the branches, he said this is the way one learns. You take a word or a statement, and you look at it as one statement, and then as you move along, it branches off into different divisions, and from this one statement, many different interpretations can be made. Now, he is saying, though, in answering your question more deeply, because he knows you are one who has the intention of learning, of moving and growing spiritually, he says, once you have mastered the Course in Miracles, it is then time to master yourself. And what he means by that is to connect with the higher mind, because it is there that your soul will be transferring information to you directly as it comes from Source. So in answer to your question, Mark, after you study the Course in Miracles, the next thing is to be working with your own mastery to receive this information through your higher mind, which is connected to your soul monad, which brings down the information from Source. Does that make sense?
Yes. Are there initiations and disciplines that a student needs to attain to attain what he did, like an awakening, to attain the liberation that he did? Are there disciplines, initiations, and I'd like to know what they are, and
just bear with me. Let me tell you what he's saying, Mark. He is saying that when he was on Earth 2,000 years ago, the energy was not available that is available to you now. He's referring specifically to two things. He is referring to the solar activity that has come to Earth in recent years, that has changed the DNA, that has changed the foundations of this planetary system itself. So that is one change that has come about. And the second is the energies that are finally being incorporated into this planet and changing your body, that's coming from the Eye of Isis. And that is the energy that we've been talking about, and Archangel Mikael has been talking about since February. And so he said these two things are the shortcuts. These are the two energy shortcuts that is making your journey so much easier. When he was on the earth and he walked his journey, he didn't have those two benefits, and neither did any of the other wise people who had to go through a very long journey to accumulate this transition, accumulate the information and the initiation to actually transmute the lower physical and to reach enlightenment. As you know, Mark, he is saying there is very little time left. There is not the long time left for the initiation. What is available now and required now is to be working with the energies and to be working for the higher mind. Your body is already being transformed. Your cells presently are, I want to make sure I'm hearing this correctly, 80% crystalline. There has been a big jump in that activity this year. He says, if you think back on how this information has been ratcheted up each month, the information, the energy that is coming to this planet is being, well, he is saying ratcheted up. It's becoming more intense. Right now, your body as well as the bodies of other people are working very diligently on going through this progression. Part of the progression, besides the cells turning crystalline, is to repair, that there is a lot of repair work that has to be done because of particulates in the air. The food that human beings are eating right now is not in their pure state. And so what the body is going through now is purifying the cells, purifying the different systems. He says, during his time, diet was extremely important. It was part of the regimen of enlightenment. Very little food was eaten, but the correct food was eaten, and it was in its pure state. You don't have that today. Therefore, the energy that is coming to this planet is necessary to clear these things. So when you talk about regimens, it would be very difficult today to follow a regimen unless you lived away from society in a place where you could eat organic food in a very simple, basic manner. Most people today are not able to do this, Mark, he says. Therefore, it is necessary to work with the body. And he's going to do this quickly. He'll give you an overview.
Okay.
Drink a lot of pure water. And these are very basic things. He says, you know this. And it is because there are three systems that are connected to one another. It is the digestion, the assimilation, and the elimination. Therefore, there are the enzymes that are very important to be eating. Digestive enzymes after you eat, to also be eating. Deciphering it, but it are the probiotics. So it's the probiotics, the digestive enzymes, pure water, exercise. If you do these things on a continuing basis and are diligent about it, you will see a great difference in the physical frame, that this is necessary for everybody now.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Very helpful, yes. One more question. There's an author named Gary Renard, and he's wrote a few books. I was wondering if, are these 100% accurate, or is this a story that he came up with to kind of convey spiritual principles? I'm just kind of wondering if it's on the
level.
Let's
see what he says. You're talking about the disappearance of the universe. We don't have much time here because we have Charlene waiting to come on, but let me ask.
Oh, okay.
No, it's okay. Let me ask him real quick, Mark, because I think this is a very good question, and I think it would be useful not only to you but to others. Let me see
Thank
what
you.
He says. What he is saying, Mark, is there was an agreement between the soul that you call Gary Renard and those that gave the information that this was a real occurrence in the author's lifetime, but it wasn't something that happened that was mysterious as people might think. This was a planned event before the author came into this lifetime, and it was an agreement to bring forth the information that he put in the book. Now, he is adding to that that the actual writing of the book, as the book was done, it was not like a channeled work per se. It was the work of the author in the sense of putting together what he had heard, putting it in the passages. He's showing me turning the book. In other words, the compilation of the book, how the book was put together, how the story was told, was at the author's discretion, but the actual events of these individuals coming to the author and giving him the story was the result of a pre-birth agreement, and it did happen.
Okay.
Answer your question, dear?
Yes. Is it 100% accurate what he says in the book?
He is saying it is that he cannot answer that because human interpretation is different from one human being to another.
Okay.
And what one human being reads into a statement, another human being would not read into a statement. And so the best that he would say here is the events, what was told to the author, was indeed the way it happened. He would not want to say everything in the book is accurate from the standpoint of interpretation. And what you can do, Mark, if you have a particular question on a particular passage or interpretation of something, the next time we are doing the show, call in with that particular statement. But you can see, to tell somebody that everything that's in a book is accurate is like to open a door.
Okay.
So, Mark, thank you so much for your question. We're going to take a break now and bring on Charlene McNeil. And so we're running over a little late for this hour. And so if the powers that be can hear my plea, let's take a break.
Hi there, this is Christoph Goes. I'm playing on Dubious Radio, where you can check tracks from my new album, Turning Inside. Because if it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Good afternoon, folks. we're back again, and this time I brought Charlene McNeil. Hi, Charlene.
Hi.
Charlene is, for those of you who are listening and were expecting to hear Caroline Allen on the phone, we told you earlier that this this day Caroline has decided to play sick baby. Poor thing. We got to get her well. You know that.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, we got to get her well. And so the first hour, we discussed Yeshua's Hidden Years and Anna, Grandmother of Jesus by Claire Hartsong. And for the remaining time, up until the hour, we will be taking the healing questions that people might have in the audience that you usually call in. And if you haven't heard Charlene before, Charlene is with me on our Wednesday show, Cosmic Connections, and the work that Charlene does is very similar to the work that Caroline Allen does, and so the kind of question that you would be calling in for healing with Caroline, Charlene is competent to take your questions, and we already have one in your name, caller.
Hi, this is Sandra.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, how are you?
We're fine, dear.
Awesome. I'm glad I made it. I just came back in from snowmobiling.
Oh. You,
there's a lot of snow. There's a lot
are you
snow
calling,
in Maine.
Are you the one calling from Canada?
No, from Maine.
Oh, from Maine. Okay.
Yeah, I got your email this morning. And, yeah, for some reason I think you thought I was in Canada.
Because I had someone who I was doing a reading for that was from Canada. Yeah, apparently I got too confused. So what can we do for you, Sandra?
Well, I thought I would call in. I think I wrote to you a little bit telling you about some money issues that I was having and some depression.
Oh, yes, the depression. That's why I felt we could. Charlene, just to get you up to speed, Sandra is one who has asked for a reading from me, and we're working on that for her. But one of the problems that she is, that's a challenge for her, are feelings of depression. And
okay.
I suggested that she call in today, hoping that this is something that perhaps you could help her with. Might be something in the DNA, a past lifetime, or something like that. So do you think you can assist her in helping release her depression?
Yeah, let me, have you had any learning on depression?
Have I done any learning on depression?
Yes, you know, reading up or studying it.
Yes, I am familiar with it. I was on depression medication for about 4 years, and I just weaned myself off of it. Trying to cleanse my body, I guess, would have you, and trying to figure out things on my own. So I do know about it.
Okay. One of the things that we learned was the fact that actually people end up with depression. It comes in your DNA. In other words, a lot of times it comes in because the serotonin is not high enough.
Right, exactly.
So you inherit a low serotonin, and that creates the depression because the chemical is not of a sufficient amount to give you the balance, chemical balance in the brain. So what we can do is go in. Now, who's your higher source? Is that God?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, so we'll go in and have God go in and increase your serotonin. Is that okay?
That's wonderful.
Okay. Now, sometimes, too, what we'll do is ask him, is it because also if you have too high of a chemical called the noradrenaline, if it's too high, it'll also cause depression. Because then you don't have the balance. It doesn't mean that the balance between the two is the same. It means that the brain needs one more than the other, and serotonin is required to be more than the noradrenaline. So he will lower the one and raise the other one. Okay?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Also look at, and so that'll clear it on your morphogenetic or your DNA. All right?
All right.
All right. Let's go in and have him work on that for you.
Now, while Charlene is doing this, I'll have a word with you, Sandra, because Charlene cannot hear us.
Okay.
Have you ever called on our Saturday show or Wednesday show?
No, this is the first time I've ever gotten.
Well, what they do is she goes into the quantum field. She goes into theta state, goes into the quantum field. She works with God to do this work on the physical. So she doesn't hear us.
Okay.
And that's why I'm telling you, because I didn't think you had called in before. So she'll do this work, and then she'll tell us when she comes back on the phone what she witnessed. God, when God works on this dimension, just as Jesus needed this, as Yeshua worked in this dimension, there needs to be a witness to see the work being done, and she is acting as the witness. And so she will come back and tell us as the witness what she saw God do. So it's fascinating, the work, and I'll tell you, I'm really glad that you called.
Thank you.
Okay,
I am Sandra, too.
What he's telling me is in that you also have a past life where you carried a lot of depression, but what it did, it was, and he was showing me that there was trauma, and the trauma, what it did was it was that fight or flight feeling of anxiety. So that's why it's so important for us to maintain a very positive and high thought pattern, because it starts interfering with those serotonin and noradrenaline in the chemicals in the brain. This is what he was showing me.
Okay.
So in the past life, you were in a very high, stressful time, and it started changing that serotonin and lowering it. Just in fact, I was seeing it so low, so you have a great deal of depression. Is that correct?
Yeah, I struggle with it daily.
Okay, that's what he was showing me. So that will also pull in any ancestors that were in a great deal of stress. Let's say in a past life there was so much violence, and that's kind of what I was looking at. And so there was always this high level of stress, and it started triggering that serotonin to lower it, okay?
So
if it's okay with you, we'll also clear the past life.
I would love that.
Okay, thank you.
Well, let me tell you, since you haven't called before, you might not be aware of this. What's coming up in this lifetime is our responsibility for clearing these things, because we are making way for the next gigantic leap in spiritual evolution. And as we move up through the dimensions, we have to clear the problems and challenges that were in this dimension. So when you clear this, you are also clearing all of your ancestors of the same problem, because time is different once you get out of on this level. And once you get into the etheric and through other, we're out of this time stream, we have the ability to clear all of this from our past ancestors. So the work that we do when people call in and ask for a clearing for themselves, they're also clearing for their ancestors, which means those that follow you now, your children that you might have and your children's children, they'll be cleared of this too, because the DNA is being altered.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now, one of the things we did with the past life is that when he went in and started clearing this fight and flight, because there was like intense persecution, and it was always uncertainty how it was going to turn out, and so it was always in stress. Now, once that was pulled, and it was resolved, God resolved it, then it had to be placed with a positive. So he put in that life was fun, it's joyful, peaceful, serene,
Gee, that's not a bad group, Shirley.
No.
Yeah, well, there's one more, and it slips for what it is. But anyway, he put that in its place. Whenever you take out a negative, always replace it with a positive, because it's called the vacuum effect. Because otherwise, if you have an energy field that is void, then sometimes that negative will come back in to fill up the void. So immediately what God did was replace it immediately with happiness, joy, high serotonin, the balance of the serotonin. It was so low that it had to be raised from a 2 to an 8.
Wow.
So that was quite a bit.
Yes.
Now what will happen is the brain will go in and start making the chemical adjustment. Also did it in your DNA and for the ancestors. So what it does is you go into the master cell, which is the pineal gland, and what it does is all of a sudden I'm looking at the chromosomes, and one of the chromosomes was pulled out and replaced with a new one, which is replaced with happiness, joy. Life is for me. Life is full of joy and happiness. I see life with joy and happiness. I feel it with joy and happiness. That was all placed in that DNA and replaced it with that as well. He also will replace it in what is called the spiritual body, the mental body, the emotional body, and the physical body, and grounded your God self to your life's path.
I'm so grateful.
So there's some major things that are going on there that I witnessed that he was doing to you. We always have to be grounded to Mother Earth, and sometimes, like, because of that, what it's not keeping you grounded. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
It doesn't keep you grounded to your God self, higher path. And so
I'm buzzing all over.
You weren't grounded. So
now, Charlene, she has never listened to us do this work. What suggestions might you give her with regards to drinking water and rest, and perhaps how long before this will be integrated?
Okay, and sometimes, see, I don't always know when it'll change, but you might feel, sometimes when, just a minute, I'm hearing something, just a minute. Oh, he wants there's 365 color spectrum of color within the body system and in your aura and your energy field. He wants permission to go in and reconstruct those color spectrums in your system and also do it in the DNA. Is that okay?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay. The reason I have to say that is God will never do anything without your permission. And if you don't give me permission, I won't do it either. So, because this life is free will.
Oh.
And, free agency. So he'll go, let him go in and do that for you, okay? Just a minute.
Well, when she comes back, we'll get her to answer that other question. Well, I tell you, Sandra, I'm really glad that you called.
I am too. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I knew when you told me about the depression that it was something that you needed to talk to us about. And what you might want to do, if you're so inclined, is to call in on our Wednesday show. Let us know how you're doing, And we'll see if there's any follow-up work that needs to be done.
I'm so excited. I feel really buzzy. I was also going to ask about, I was told that I was an indigo. What are your takes on that?
I'd rather us finish up with this first.
Okay.
And then we'll get to that real quick. But that kind of takes, I don't want to take away from this for a moment. It's
that's
kind of
no,
like
that's
cross
fine.
Current here.
Okay, now, one of the things that I must admonish you to do, and that is right now, your cells and the chemistry in your body is changing considerably. There's a lot of work going on. Now, we can't see it on our human form, what is going on, but each one of the cells, especially those cells with the chromosomes in it, are what they're doing is they're in there re-establishing this new information. So you must drink plenty of water, eat well, and get plenty of rest. If you feel tired, just recognize it's because your body is making all these changes. Okay?
Charlene, would you explain to her, darling, take a moment and tell her what your definition of eating well is?
Well, you know, eating well, I guess when we talk about eating well, is making sure that you're assimilating enough of your vegetables, fruits and vegetables, because they have so many nutrients in them. And the brain cell, and sometimes somebody will say to me, they say, well, I don't eat very much protein. I said, well, the cells in the brain, if you're depressed, sometimes it's because you're not getting enough nutrients to feed the brain the nutrients it needs, and that will cause depression.
Okay.
Anytime you're not getting enough vitamins and minerals and nutrients, then the cells become depleted, or somebody will say, oh, I don't eat until evening. And I'd say, well, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm kind of depressed. And I said, well, sure you are. You're not feeding your cells the proper nutrients. Whatever we eat has a vibrational frequency that is required within the cells in order for them to function correctly. We eat because we want to or because it's fun a lot of times, not because we're supplementing the body with what its requirements are in order for them to, for it to function correctly. So if you eat high nutrients like like your vegetables and your fruit and your protein and right protein, it depends on the person's body how much protein or what kind of protein that they can use. So what that'll do is help build your cells so that they can perform in the way that they originally was created. Every single one of your cells were created with perfect intelligence. What happens is, like in the past life, or your morphogenetic field, in your ancestors, sometimes that God intelligence that the cells were created at start getting interfered with its higher dimension of its intelligence, and it starts breaking it down, like with yours, with the fight and flight. Am I explaining it so well?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so what you're doing is you're turning it around and recognizing the fact that it's your responsibility to keep those cells in perfect health so that they can do the job that they really and truly want to. Our cells are very, very obedient to what they assume that we want. In other words, if I tell a cell that they're not perfect right now, they don't know that they're not.
Okay.
So I have to say, okay, now I want you to go back to the programming of the God intelligence. And then they say, oh, is that where you want me? Because they think they're doing you a favor by being where you're at. So that's why we're having, so that God goes in and pulls out that information with the chemicals in your brain to eliminate the fight and flight and put perfect chemicals in the brain so that you can feel whole and happy. Any questions?
No, I'm just feeling so wonderful right now. I can't, words can't express.
I love it.
Usually when God goes in and establishes, if there's 365 color spectrums in the body, also in the aura and the energy field. So he reestablished that. And what it usually does is make a person just different. And then it's also made you grounded.
Yeah.
And when you get grounded to Mother Earth, Mother Earth is actually the one that supplies us with all the vitamins and minerals and nutrients, if you think about it.
Right.
Because everything comes out of Mother Earth, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so that's why it's important. So, you know, you don't get a corn mixed up with a pea or a bean or something else. Why? Because they vibrate at a frequency that they know which kind of frequency they need to take from the earth for them to reproduce themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions?
I can't think of any at the moment. I'm feeling really well.
Well,
right
she
now.
Asked me a question, so we'll give her an answer on this real fast. But I think she certainly, you were very clear with giving her information as to what she needs to do with this cellular change. Sandra, while you were working, Sandra asked if, what was that you asked about?
I'm being an indigo.
Right.
Yeah.
What makes you think that you might be?
Well, I've heard from several people that I have brought that energy in with me, and that kind of is my life purpose, is to bring change and help people wake up, or not wake up, but look at things in a different way, perhaps.
So is being told an indigo, what does that information mean to you, Sandra, that you have come to help other people right now? Is that what...
Right, that's what I'm thinking. That's what it means to me when someone told me that. I actually had to look it up.
So in other words, you think that you might have a coming with a responsibility to help other people. Is that your question?
Yes. That's exactly right.
Okay, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the cherubim in the center of the cosmos and have them get your book of records and see what they have to say about this question. I'm chuckling because as I say that, there is a magnificent cherubim standing there right now with your record, and she is... Well, first of all, she's pointing to the cover, and there is color involved in this, Sandra, and the cover, the color that is on top of your record is a brown, and what brown means is that when your soul was called into creation, it was called in under the vibration of love, so that love is... was the call in which God called you to fulfill the certain duties in that part of the tapestry of life, that you would be called forth to fill in the requirements of love. And so there is also another color involved, which is interesting because most covers are just brown. There is another color involved, and it is circulating on the top, going within. And this is a beautiful sapphire color. And in that sapphire color, there is little flecks of golden light. And so... what she is showing me is the brown, which has to do with love, and in your particular case, the emblem that is in this circular pattern on top of the brown is showing your path as it came to Earth now from a very higher level, and it is the sapphire blue. That it is showing on your record is the dimension from which you came. And she said this cherubim is showing me that the word indigo is not a word that originated from the realm in which you came, that the word indigo is strictly a human word that they put upon this group of people who are coming presently and who have laid the groundwork for an even higher level of people who are coming in, which they are calling the crystal children right now. So
yes.
They could not come immediately without having groundwork laid by vibration. So you and the group that you came with, that came from this dimensional level, being illustrated with this incredibly beautiful blue. It's like, it's not exactly a sapphire blue. And it could be why they called it indigo, because there is this sapphire turning towards a little darker blue, and that is from the dimension that you come from. So in essence to your question, yes, the people on this level that we live call it indigo. Where you came from, they did not call it indigo. You brought in with you a vibration that helps set up the base to bring in even a higher vibration, which is the crystal children. And so that was your planetary service, and all of those from that group are the planetary service on that level. But now on the human level that you work with people, yes, you also came in with love to help on an individual calling. So is that clear? You have two levels that you worked with, the vibrational level for planetary service, and then the human level in working individually with people. So does that help you out, Sandra?
Yes. Wow. That's amazing.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Yes, and it is very exciting. And she is closing your book for now, since you felt like you had the answer. And we'll get your other answers for you in your reading, dear.
Okay.
Aren't you glad you called?
I am. I'm ecstatic. I'm glad I can get back in time. I was telling my husband, because we were out and the snow is so deep. And
Are you that the snow is so deep?
We're in Maine.
Right.
Yes. So there is so much snow, and we went out actually this morning, and we're just getting back now, and it's 5 o'clock here, my time.
Well,
so,
we're glad you got back safely.
Yes, I'm glad I made it too, and thank you so much.
My
Double
pleasure.
All of you. I feel so
Call good. Next Wednesday. Let us know how you're doing.
I certainly will. Thank you both.
Okay.
Thank you.
God
Bye.
Bless.
Charlene, why don't you give your phone number, dear?
Okay, it's 801-944-9346, and I'm in Mountain Standard Time.
Thank you for adding that little piece.
Usually you correct me and say, okay, Charlene, where is that?
Well, because people might call you in the middle of the night. You know, they're calling from Australia or Hawaii or something.
Well, that's what I did to one lady that wanted me to call her, and I called her in a Honolulu, and I called her at 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had miscalculated the time frame, so it's true. I'll tell you, that was embarrassing.
Well, it was just unfortunate. I don't know about embarrassing.
Oh, it's one of those things, right?
Right. And so, folks who might not be familiar with my work, you got a little information as to a little demonstration of the kind of work that I do with the cherubim and reading the Akashic records. And if you want a private reading for yourself, you can get the information at my website at carolynevers.com, and that's carolynevers.com. And there is a little, sort of like a large button there that says Akashic Reading. You just hit that, go in there, and it tells you all about it. And what we're doing now is we do the reading in a printed form. so people have it delivered to their email address. And I also put the reading on a CD that you can play on the computer, and I think you really get a feel of the energies as they come from the cherubim. So that's my story. So for people out there who are listening to hear our voice, give us a call, 877-876-5227. You can call in for a reading from your records that might cover mission or so forth. Here we just had a question about an indigo, which I thought was a very interesting answer. Or if you have some kind of question with regards to healing, you heard Charlene give a demonstration of how she works with God, give us a call. We also have a toll-free number if you live in Canada, and that's 888-815-9750. So do you have any snow where you are living, Charlene?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We're in the Rocky Mountains, and right now they, in the last couple of weeks, have really been dumped on well, and of course that gives us lots of moisture, and a lot of the moisture that come out of the mountains up here into Colorado actually empty down into California, so it's important that the mountains up here have lots and lots of snow.
You know, isn't this amazing when you stop and think about modern technology? Here we've got a radio station in California. I'm in Maryland. You're in the Rocky Mountains.
Right.
And we have somebody from Maine, and we're all here together with a little bit of fun.
I know. Isn't that grand?
And so we have another caller. And what's your name, please?
My name's Doug. I'm Don's brother.
You're Don's brother.
How are you
brother?
Doing? It's been
You're Don's
so long.
Brother.
You know, I have a... This is strange. I had probably one of the most beautiful experiences right before Christmas, the 3 or 4 days. It was just humbling because I saw so much beauty. It's 3 or 4 days I was on a high, which was only second to something that occurred to me years ago, which you probably can appreciate, Carolyn. But since then, people have been very unkind. It seemed almost the more kind I became, the more unkind everybody around me seemed to be, and it's been that way for a past week where every day everything's just got worse and worse and worse.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know, I know that we're a projection of what's happening on the inside to some degree. It unfolds around us, but, you know, in my bottom of my heart, for some reason I don't feel like this is necessary for me. This is deserving for me, and I just... You know, maybe I just need a little pick-me-up. So may I explain why, when the harder I try to be kind, the harder I work, the more I give, how so much bad can occur over such a short period of time.
Well, let's see what we can do to help you out. Charlene, do you have any thoughts here, dear?
Well, right now, one of the things, I think a lot of people that are kind of dealing in the same issue, and that is, where is the love and the kindness and the positive when you're working so hard to do it, and yet you've got all this negative coming in?
Yeah.
What is happening is that those that are on the negative, a negative nature, are really recognizing the time that their time is short, and they seem to be coming in full force, trying to make things work their way. And so sometimes I have to look at it when that happens and say, okay, how can I stay within my own integrity and maintain the love that really comes from me and from God, to maintain that?
Charlene, do me a favor, sweetheart. Look in his energy body. See if it needs clearing.
You've got somebody that is projecting at you. Can you understand that?
Projecting at me, no.
Okay, let me go in and take that out, okay?
Yeah, go clear it.
Okay, let's clear that. Just a minute.
Do you understand what's happening?
No.
Okay.
I keep thinking that I have a lot of doors I can walk through, and the one door I'm in seems that I don't know if I want to choose to be in it, but the consequences to so many people are so bad because there's so much dependency on me. Do you know what I mean?
Well, let me explain something, because I think this is very important for you. First of all, I know that you're aware that we all have energy bodies.
Yes.
And you're probably also aware that when people project their thoughts toward you, that they can set up a cord and connect to your energy body. You're aware of that, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay. So a lot of things are going on right now. People who have a reason to project a negative thought towards you, if you are fatigued and if you haven't protected your energy body, you can have an attachment.
Okay, how are you
what
feeling?
Did she feel? Finish it.
How are you feeling?
Right now, hard to explain. Just muted. I feel muted.
You
I feel
what?
Almost beside myself, you know, in a strange way. It's kind of foggy. These past few days have been so bad, it's just kind of a fog.
Well, because sometimes if I see that happening with me, I know that there's something within it that's happened to me lately, and it can be that somebody, like with you, you've got somebody that was putting a lot of negative on you. Does
yes.
that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. Charlene, does he
now,
have a...
Now, that has been removed. I ask Archangel Michael with the Mercy Band of Angels to come and remove it, and now. And then immediately went in and had God's energy surround you in what's called the Golden Pyramid. And within the Golden Pyramid is a crystal diamond, so that God's energy is totally and completely immersed you in his energy and love.
Thank you.
Okay. Now,
thank you.
Right now, do it again, but let's have you let go. All right?
All right.
Kind of let go. Are you feeling kind of responsible for this attack?
No, I don't know. I almost feel responsible for all attacks, because in some sense, maybe it's me coming back to teach myself a lesson, but I can't understand why these lessons, because I've tried over these months and years to really be better and better and better, and I'm happy with who I am. I've reached levels of kindness that I could have never seen before in my life, and I just don't see it coming back to me.
Okay, Charlene, would you check and see if he has a tear in his energy field?
Yeah.
My main prayer now, the past couple of nights going to bed, is I wish the world would just know a level of kindness.
Yeah, but you see, when you have a cord that is pumping in negative energy, and if you have a tear in your energy field, then you are leaking your own personal energy. So you got a couple things going on here that, first of all, I think we're going to get repaired, and then we want to talk about how you protect yourself. Forget about the kindness for a second. That's, how shall I say this? That's in another church, so to speak.
Mm.
The one that we're following is repairing some psychic damage that was done, and then we want to talk about how you defend yourself from this in the future.
You know why it was so hard? I came off of the second biggest high I've ever had in my life, spiritual
mm-hmm.
high, over about a 3 or 4 day period, to probably one of the lowest lows I've ever had in my life. And it happened so abruptly and so quickly, it felt like it broke my heart.
It felt like it did what?
Broke my heart.
Broke
like
your
I
heart?
Could never,
I'm having trouble hearing you, dear.
It felt kind of like it broke my heart. It's like
uh-huh.
I reached such a level, yet it was bust. It was ripped away from me so hard, so fast. I can't recognize what I felt.
Well, the negative forces are attacking us for many reasons. They're getting desperate because there's more light being growing on the planet. Also, some of them are coming towards us to be released to the light. They think if they see us as light beings that we will release them to the light. So a lot of stuff is going on right now. But I think in this situation, you can't take it personally.
So you have a responsibility. Let's put, if you can do good, but it causes you pain, and it's not a responsibility, but maybe you can do the right thing, but it still creates a lot of pain. Do you have the choice to walk from that, even if the repercussions to others would be more pain on their end that you wouldn't alleviate?
You know, there, for whatever reason, there's a lot of distortion on my phone right now, and I'm really having trouble hearing you.
And I would suggest,
after we finish with the show, call me later on my, at my regular phone number. We won't be on the air, and I can talk to you, and we won't have this distortion. But,
oh, there it went away.
Yeah, it did.
It finally did.
Yes.
What I wanted to tell you is you're in so much anxiety about the way things are. What you want to do is to say, I now release the issues to God. Because if you're trying to do it, you're in ego.
Yeah.
And so when you step into that space, say, I now release this to God. Because you're very kind and tender-hearted. What it's doing is it's depleting your heart chakra and your heart energy field. So I had him go in there because it seemed so depleted that I had him go in and start strengthening your heart there because you're in so much sorrow.
Yeah, I've been very
sad. Are you?
I've been very, very sad.
Yeah. Recognize that you're in the God energy. Step back and let him do. Let God do the work.
Well, thank you.
Okay, you still can be kind, but what's happening is you're taking on others' sorrow and sadness. You're taking on their grief and their pain. What you want to do is you can serve and you can care, but do not take on their sorrow, which is an energy field. Do not take on their anguish or their pain. That isn't your job. Because then you're taking on their negative energy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And I know as a kind, gentle person, that is what you'll do, but you'll deplete your field. And so then your energy field was all shredded. And it had to go in and have a lot of repair work done.
Well, thanks.
Okay, and then also he cleared all of your chakras, your energy centers, making sure that they're rotating at the right vibrational frequency and at the right dimension. Because you were depleting, because you're taking on everybody within the world, basically. You're taking on their grief and their sorrow and their fear. Is that what you've been doing?
I usually do it well.
hey, we don't have a lot of time here. Charlene, what I would like for you to do is let us talk to him about how he protects himself. You got to wake up in the morning and go to bed at night with this protection.
Right. What you want to do is sometimes I have people put the blocking angels around them. What they do is they put a green light that goes around from your top of your head, down to your left, down to your feet, and back up again. But within that circle, you're going to put another green light, and it's going to rotate the other way. Within that is what you're standing in the middle. You're going to have God's, and then you ask for God's unconditional love, light, and energy to be within that protective shield.
I will do that.
Okay.
Okay, now, he does that in the morning, Charlene. Does it make sense to do it at night, too?
Do it again when you go to bed. Ask your ministering angels to stand watch and guard over you. What you're doing at night is kind of like Carolyn was saying. What we tend to do is there's people that lived on this earth and they haven't left. Hmm. So they'll come when you're asleep at night and attached to you because you've got this light. And they want some of your light. So you're going to make sure you're protected, even when you go to bed at night,
okay.
So that they don't glean your energy while you're asleep.
I understand.
Okay. Now try that, and then call back and let me see how you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're on Wednesday, if you have the opportunity. So several things. You're not responsible for other people's emotions. You've got to protect yourself to keep your energy clear, to keep the blockages away and cords from other people, because you cannot withstand the drain on your own field and be happy.
Yeah.
And it's also what she's referring to is called psychic hooks. People can do it psychically by projecting their negative thought patterns. And then that's one of the things that I had to clear with you.
Thank you.
Because you've had that attack on you. But you've got to have that protective shield at all times, because that's God's unconditional love.
Well, thank you.
All right?
I appreciate
it. It's God's responsibility for those people, not yours.
Well, thank you.
Okay?
Well,
thank you both.
Bless you, dear.
Have a wonderful, happy New Year 2008.
Indeed, and if you want to call me later, feel free.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye,
goodbye. Charlene, real quick. Nah, we're right up the moment. Real quick, give them your phone number, like in a half a second.
Okay. 801-944-9346.
And that's CarolynEvers.com. Plenty of good stuff there. Talk to you Wednesday. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.